We're going to look at Psalms this morning, and sometimes I think in our world today, we forget why God saved us. You know, there's a lot of talk about God loving us so much that he comes and saves us, and there's a lot more to it than just that. It's not that simple, okay? He came because of sin. God created a people, and we were created to worship God. We were created as spiritual beings to walk hand in hand with a holy God. And we messed that up. God didn't mess that up. We messed that up. And disobedience messes up that not only that relationship with God, but if you are a child of God, it'll mess up the fellowship that you have with him by being disobedient to his word. And just, I want to look at this passage of scripture this morning because it was a great reminder to the children of Israel why God saves us. Okay? And I think that we forget that it's not for us. He doesn't save us for us. And we talked a little bit about it last week, but I want to now expound on that a little bit through God's word to back this up. So the Israelites come up and say, we have sinned like our fathers. We've committed iniquity. We have behaved wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindness, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Remember when they were delivered and Pharaoh's army came close. What did they do? They started attacking Moses. Why did you bring us out here to be slaughtered? Why did you bring us out here to die? Even though they saw all the plagues that God had performed on Egypt and all this miraculous stuff. And then eventually when the death angel came through and they got to experience all of this, and then when things got a little tight because of their disbelief in God, people don't realize that's a sin to not believe God. And that is the ultimate sin, the unpardonable sin, is that we don't believe God and we don't believe who God sent for the redemption of the world. Nevertheless, important word here. So in spite of that disobedience, in spite of you, in spite of being enemies of God, it says he saved them for the sake of his name. Okay? God created this. This is his wonder. It's his glory. He glorified his son, Jesus Christ, by putting him on a cross to glorify us as we are his workmanship. And the work he creates in us is to turn around and glorify the Father. It's all because of his name that he's doing this. It's not because of you. Oh yes, for God so loved the world, but the purpose behind loving the world is so that he protects his name and glorifies his name and exalts his name through the work that he's done through his son, Jesus Christ. It's amazing how this comes full circle. But again, he reminds us again in this passage of scripture, he saved them not because he had fuzzy feelings for them, but he saved them for the sake of his name, that he might make his power known. Ain't about us at all, is it? It's really not about us at all, is it? It's about him. And until we as a humanity can come to that spiritual truth, we'll never be who God wants us to be, and we'll never be able to live this abundant life that he's promised us until we understand this one physical truth, that it's about him. This is about God. It's about his glory. It's about his power. It's about his reign. It's about his redemption. Okay? Not so much about us. Oh, we benefit from it. Don't get me wrong. We benefit from it. But it's all about him. Thus he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. So in spite of this, he's going to save them physically. And he led them through the deeps as though through the wilderness. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them, and he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. This was a physical salvation, understand. Okay? God has something greater for us, and that's a spiritual salvation. See, we don't tell people the whole truth. Why we sin is because we're born with a nature to sin. So we're born dead in our trespasses of sin is what needs to be told to folks instead of stop doing this and stop doing this and stop doing this. Well, you're asking a dog not to be a dog. You're asking a cat not to be a cat. You're asking a bird not to be a bird. You're asking some, you're trying to change a nature. We can't change a nature. Only God can change a nature. And we're born with a nature that's contrary to God, that's an enemy of God. And so he sends now a spiritual deliverance through his son, Jesus Christ, not a physical one. See, when we focus on the physical, what can I get from God? What God's going to do for me? Well, see, and then when a good physical thing happens, then we will praise him. But what if something good doesn't happen, do we still praise him? Good question, isn't it? Oh, it's easy to say and sit here and say, oh yeah, you know, and I call it the Peter syndrome. You know, where when Peter said, man, I'll die with you, Christ. Boy, I will never rebuke you. I will never deny you. And Christ says, no, you're going to do it three times before the cock crows. You know, the Peter syndrome always builds ourselves up. We got that self-righteousness to say, oh man, we have the power in the flesh to do all the stuff that God has us to do. And then, man, we're going to be strong. And man, we're going to, I never will be deceived. You'll never see me deceived. And then the Bible tells us how many times, be careful, don't be deceived. You see, God knows our heart. He knows the nature that we're born with. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He wrote that for a reason so that we would know this. But in this physical deliverance, boy, now, boy, we're happy again. We came out of Egypt, we sang the praises. We came to the Red Sea, man, we didn't sing praises. Man, he opened up the Red Sea, we sang the praises. I hope your life's not like that. My life used to be like that when I was just religious. You see, I said a prayer. The preacher told me I was saved. God had other plans for my life, and this religious world was not one of those to be this religious leader in the church. But he took me out of the religious church, and he rebirthed me into the only church, and as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I hope your life's not like this. I hope your life isn't like these Israelites where they went from one little peril to another. Because it goes on to say, they quickly forgot his works, and then they did not wait for his counsel. So you remember the other passage of scripture we said, waiting on the Lord? So you can mount up like eagle's wings. And waiting on the Lord is not a idle time in your life, but it's a very busy time in your life when you're seeking the glory of God, not you're being rescued. So much we only want what God does for us instead of loving him for who he is. There's a tremendous difference in loving God for who he is and only loving him for what he does for us. Kids are a great example of this. When you're raising kids, they love their parents for what their parents do for them. They do not really love their parents. That love comes later in life when maybe they have children or something. They begin to understand what their parents did for them. You see, the way that we love is a different way than what God loves. And I'm not being derogatory to kids, but if you stop doing for kids, they don't like you. I mean, it's simple. If kids don't get what they want, they will speak evil of their parents. They'll call you a bad father, a bad mother, because you didn't give them everything that they wanted. Well, God, being a perfect father, doesn't give us everything that we want, because he knows what will hurt us. And so understand that sometimes God uses the things in our life so that we can understand the purposes of God in our lives. But they did not wait for his counsel. Again, during that period of time of your life, always seek to glorify God. God, how can this bring you glory in your life, in my life? What are you doing in my life to make it shine for you? You see, you have to be a child of God for the promise of God to come to you. His promises are not for everyone. His promises are for those that are born again. That verse that Zach read about worrying, the world should worry. They should worry every day. They should be absolutely, because they don't have a God that can see over their benefits. But again, even through all of that, and he meets all of our needs, it's about glorifying him in everything that we do and everything that we say. Let's look at Psalms 42, 5 through 11. I love the Psalms. Psalms are not just haphazardly written, but they're heartfelt. He says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." Did God come to help us physically? Or did God come to help us spiritually? See, if you want that Jesus that helps you physically, you're going to be very disappointed. He didn't come to help us physically. He was sent because of sin. I mean, read and listen to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believeth in him will not what? Perish." So what is this perishing all about? Jesus came for the Savior of the world, but it is the judgment of God is why he came. This physical Jesus that has been created, that people think that they get comfort and all this stuff and all this wonderful feelings and things from God, it just doesn't exist. It's a spiritual waking in our lives that then seals us with the love of God, which then gives us the comfort, which then allows us to endure what the life has to offer. If you want to persevere through this life, it's not based on you getting comfort and you getting the things that you want in this life, but it's about that God transforms you through the trials and tribulations and things in your life so that you can see if you pass the test, to see if you're a child of God, to see if you have the perseverance that still praises God in times when things don't make sense. Praising God is not lip service. See, it's easy for us, isn't it, to just say the things. I mean, I was raised up in the Baptist church. I was taught all of the nice little things and cliches to say when things happened. You know, we're taught those things, and we don't have a clue what any of those things mean. Lip service doesn't do any good. It's a matter of the transformation of the heart, which then eventually affects the flesh and how the flesh responds. How do you live your everyday life? This guy is in despair, oh my, so, to the point where his soul is aching, to the point that he's asking for the presence of God in his life to bring him peace and comfort so that he can glorify God in his life, not so that he gets the peace and comfort. Does that make sense? It's not the peace and comfort that we're seeking. It's the seeking of the presence of God in our life through that new birth experience. And that's the only way that he can be present in your life is through the new birth experience. That's the only way you can relate to God is being born again. If you're not born again, you cannot relate to him. You cannot even worship him. You must worship in spirit and in truth. And if you're born spiritually dead, how can you worship him in spirit when you don't have the Holy Spirit residing in you? He goes on to say, "Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from the Mount Mizraim." So again, he's remembering the good times when the children of Israel came into the land of Jordan. And they look on this big, huge mountain. They would overlook and see great valleys and beautiful land, the milk and honey that God had given them. "Deep calls to deep to the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me." Oh, God is overwhelming. The things of God are overwhelming for our fleshly minds. We cannot understand God. We were not created to understand God. We were created to be obedient to God. God does not have to explain anything to me. He is not obligated in any sense to explain anything to me. See, we live in a world of a religion that says that God has to have to make everything plain to us. That if we're going to be obedient to him, we got to understand what he's doing in our life. That's not in Scripture. It's "thus saith the Lord, I'm obedient to it, and thus, if God decides to bless me, then he blesses me. If he doesn't, then he doesn't." There's not any formula or book that you can read to get a blessing from God. Throw those books away. Throw all those commentaries away. Throws all those help books away. You only need one help book, and it's here. It's the Holy Scriptures. And through the Holy Scriptures and the revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives, who gets us redeemed and back to God as his child, and God takes care of his children. No, not in the way that you take care of your children. He's not gonna raise you the way you raise your children, giving them every little whim and every little cry and every little whimper. Boy, just make sure they're the happiest little creatures on this earth, right? Huh? We can't upset the children. We live in a world today, we can't upset the children. Well, God upsets me. I'm his child. And he sure don't make me happy every day. He sure doesn't give me everything I want. But he gives me everything I need. And the one thing I need is salvation. And the one thing that I need is to present him as holy to my peers for what he did for me. And as we gather together in this church, we need to present God as holy. When you leave out those doors, you need to present God as holy. And when you don't present God as holy, that's a sin. And it comes with devastating consequences. "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. A prayer to God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" See, there are times in our life when, where is he? Now, sometimes that's because you're not denying yourself daily. Sometimes that's because you're not doing what God says you have to do. I mean, if you look at all the examples, King Saul, we talked about him last week. He didn't do it the way God said do it, and God took his kingdom away. David didn't do what he was supposed to do when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and a man got killed because of it. All because he didn't do what God told him to do. Moses did not enter the promised land because he did not do it the way that God said do it. Now, God still made water come from the rock, because God's purposes will always be accomplished in spite of us. But Moses didn't do what he was told to do. And so it's this obedience that we have to come to grips with, that God doesn't have to tell us what he's doing in our life, but we're just to be obedient to that. But make sure it's not your fault. Make sure, you know, I always start with myself first when I start having problems in my life. I like to blame them on Terry. It's a lot easier that way. I feel a lot better in the flesh when I blame her for whatever is going on in my life or my kids or whatever. It's nice to blame somebody at work. Isn't it? It just feels better. Doesn't it feel better to blame somebody else? I like it when I can blame somebody else, but that's not the right way to do it, is it? You got a matter in your life, you always start with yourself. You just might be the problem. Oh, not me. I can never be the problem. I go to church, I read my Bible. It couldn't be me. I praise God with my lips all day long. It can't be me, but it just might be you. You just might be the problem. And the only way you're going to know if you're the problem is to open up God's Word and asking God to reveal yourself to you. See, we look in Scripture to get what we want out of life instead of what God wants to give us out of Scripture. And that's the new birth. All this is about the new birth. There are a lot of different things, but that's not the focal point. The focal point of Scripture is that you come to the new birth experience, that you're born again. Oh, but I've been in church my whole life. Oh, I'm a deacon. Oh, I'm a preacher. You know, there are pastors out there that are going to die and go to hell that preach every Sunday from the pulpit, and they're going to die and go to hell because God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Do you realize that? All preachers, all dogs go to heaven maybe, but all preachers don't. And I don't know about the dogs either. God doesn't tell us. But see, we make all these great assumptions about our life, don't we? Huh? Oh, I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven because you assume you're going to heaven, or because the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're going? Because if it doesn't, and if the fruits of the Spirit are not blossoming in your life, and you don't have an eagerness to learn about God, there shouldn't be a Sunday school class that's missed. Because that's where the church gathers together to grow together. Did you know that? We're supposed to be learning together, growing together. Huh? Somehow duties become more important than learning the Word of God. I just don't get it. At this stage of my life, I just don't get it. Why that's not so important to us. Because it's only through that we become the people that God wants us to become. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? When the reason, the answer to that is because I'm looking for physical deliverance and not to glorify God. As a shattering of my bones and my adversaries revile me. Well, they say to me all day long, where's your God? And the reason they're saying that is because this guy goes around with a gloomy face. Well, where's your God at? Huh? You go to church down there, don't you? Don't you go to church down there? Huh? You acting just like the rest of the world. You're handling your problems just like everybody else does. Where's your God at? Huh? I'm trying to bring a reality here, folks, that doesn't matter what we say, doesn't make it real. Doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't make it real. What makes this real is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life that God has given you as the gift of redemption, so that you become His righteousness in this world. and you repent of your sins through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're honest with yourself, God already knows. He's trying to bring you to that point where you're honest with yourself. And until you're honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody else. See, we just want to, that's why religion is so popular today, is because religion gives everybody what they want, not what they need. Religion has never saved anybody. Do you realize that? Do you realize that no one has ever been saved through religion? But it's only through the relationship that God gives us through His Son. And while you become disturbed within me, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. So he comes to this conclusion that's not about me at all. It's about praising Him. And praising Him by applying His truth to our lives, that's how you praise God. Presenting yourself as a holy living sacrifice. Not being transformed by this world. Huh? I'm not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, something has to happen that's beyond us. Something has to happen that's beyond us. In religion, it's just, what can you do for God? The relationship is, look what God did for me. And once I realize what I've been saved from, and once I realize who He is and that I bring nothing to this table, then God doesn't need me. Then I can begin to grow in the aspect to who I'm supposed to be. But you can't skip this. You must come to this on your own through the reading of the Scriptures and asking God to give you the... And it has to be in fear of God too. It has to be fear. God does have the right to tell you, depart from me, I never knew you. You realize that that's a possibility in your life, right? If you're not a true child of God. It doesn't matter how good you've been. It doesn't matter how many sermons you've preached. It doesn't matter how much money you've given. It doesn't matter how righteous you think you are. See, we have religion takes the fear of God away in our lives. When God says it's all about fearing me. Let's look at John 12. So, is it wrong to be troubled? No. I didn't say anything wrong with it. The problem is how you're handling it. See, that's where we get into trouble, is how we handle things. You know, we can handle them in the flesh, or if we're children of God, He gives us the Spirit to guide us through these troubles to handle them. Listen to this. Now, my soul has become troubled. Whoa! We just read that, right? You know who's saying this? Jesus Christ. Now His soul is troubled. Why? My soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Save me from this hour. This physical hour, save me. No. It wasn't the physical hour He was concerned with. It was the spiritual hour. He who knew no sin would become sin, and the Father would forsake him. Just like in Psalms. God, why have you forsaken me? God forsakes us because of sin. God has forsaken humanity because of the nature of sin. And now Jesus in His flesh is going to at some point feel forsaken by Almighty God, and He knows that relationship that He has with God, and He doesn't want for one moment for it to be broken. But for this purpose, now here's how Jesus handles it. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. He realizes this is what the Father wants from him. To be beaten, to be spit upon, to be rejected. By his chosen people. That was why Jesus was born, so that he could save his people from their sins. He says, Father, glorify your name. My tragedy, your glory. My tragedy, your glory. Glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. He glorified him as he walked blameless on this earth. 100% man with the nature, 100% God, because God was his father. That's why the new birth experience is so important. So now that God's your father. God's not your father until you're born again. You can't call him father till you're born again. So he says, I've not only glorified you, I've given you all authority over this world. Everything is at your voice and command. The seas become calm. The dead rise. The lame walk. The blind see. But I'm going to do something even greater. Through you, I'm going to bring humanity back to me. A greater feat than anything that you've seen physically. And I'm going to glorify it again. You know how I'm going to glorify it again? Because after I forsake you, I'm going to raise you up again. I'm going to raise you in 3 days, and I'm going to set you at my right hand. So the crowd of the people who stood by and heard it were saying that it thundered. Others were saying an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, the voice has not come for my sake, but for yours. So even the glorification of Jesus Christ was not for his own sake. It was for the Father's sake, but the benefit was for me and you. The benefit of glorifying God is we get. And that's what he did with Jesus Christ. And this is amazing. This is the verse that no one wants to read in the modern day churches. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of the world be cast out. See, we want to focus just on him being a savior and not a judge. And the judgment of God. He is the judgment of God. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. It's not that God's not drawing. It's that we've changed the message so much that people aren't hearing. And people aren't responding. What people are responding to do today is religion. Oh, that physical comfort. That physical healing. Though all that physical that this false Jesus claims to give but doesn't. You gotta throw this religious Jesus away. And ask God to allow Jesus, the real Jesus, to find you. If the real Jesus hasn't found you, then you don't have the real Jesus. You don't find Jesus. Understand me? You do not find Jesus. Jesus finds you. See, these are truths that are not told because it doesn't measure up with what the religious leaders are telling you today. The religious leaders are lying to you and giving you a false sense of security and a false sense of hope. And if you're not a child of God, you've not been born again, then you'll never receive the comfort of God. You'll never be able to glorify God. Because it's only through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can do this. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that God allows us to be able to do this. Hey, life is tough. Tragedies are real. Life is hard. But God didn't come to make that easier for us. He brought it on so that we would know what we are. And we live in the consequences of sin, even though there's a forgiveness of sin that is proclaimed by God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Those consequences will not be done away with. This world is fading away. People are falling away from truth, just like God's Word said. Did you know it's amazing that whatever God wrote is happening? And so on the other aspect is, if you're not a child of God, you've not been born again, and His Spirit doesn't bear witness with your spirit that you're a child, you're going to die and go to hell. And you'll not receive the comfort of God, of this, but you're going to see the comfort of the religious Jesus. You'll try to get that. And what I used to do in my life is fake it. I used to go through with a smile on my face when my soul was in torment. I used to, oh yeah, I got strength in God. Oh, God will see me through it. I mean, you know all those cliches that were taught? Oh, just have faith and boy, it'll work out. You know, the most misquoted verse in the Bible, all things work together for the good. You didn't read the rest of the passage of Scripture. According to those who called for His purpose. Huh? It just doesn't all work out good, folks. There's some bad things that happen to us. That's why Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind us and looking forward to the things that are in front of us. We can't change the past. But we can't let the past determine our future. Especially for a child of God. We can't allow those things to hold us back so that others don't see the glory of God in us. Because our purpose is still to be an ambassador for Christ, regardless of what we're going through. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm telling you this is impossible. What God has called us to do is impossible. Quit trying to do it in the flesh, because you're going to get disappointed. You're going to get tired. You're going to get distraught. And what you're really walking away from is religion. Because the relationship God will bear you up.